Amen. Let's go to John chapter 12, verses 23, and we're going to read to verse 25. I did minister on a similar theme in our first service. I encourage you to listen to that if you get a chance. It's also available on our podcast, our Facebook, our YouTube, all of those things. Amen. Well, this is important because Jesus is speaking. In fact, all the word is important, but let's read. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Everybody say glorified. It sounds very glorious, doesn't it? Wow, glorified. Okay, how is it going to happen? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." Glorification. And the next phrase, we're talking about death. Jesus said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Jesus said, "My time has come. I'm at the pinnacle of my ministry to fulfill my purpose. The time, the hour has come that the Son of Man may be glorified." And then he tells us about a corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. Obviously speaking of his crucifixion, his death. And he said, "Unless I die, I'm going to be in heaven alone. But if I die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it." I want to speak simply on just this title. Death precedes life. Death precedes life. You say, "Hey, that doesn't even make sense, Pastor. I mean, life and then death. I get that." But you see, this is the kingdom of God where death precedes life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the life that we have in you, the blessings of abundance we have in you. We thank you, Lord, that you promised you'd never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we thank you for your love demonstrated to us on that cross. Lord God, we are the fruit of what you did at that cross for us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. Death precedes life. Jesus liked to present paradoxes. Things that make you go, "Huh? I don't get it." Questions, things that at first that you kind of don't understand what he's saying. And he starts talking about, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, there'll be no fruit. And so Jesus is presenting this paradox to us. He says, in order for there to be life, there must be death. That doesn't make sense to us, but we should know already that God's ways are not our ways. We should already know that we are told not to lean on our own understanding. Death precedes life, or death comes before life. Now, John chapter 12, verse 24, this verse that we've read as our text today, is a verse that many critics of the Bible like to use to prove that the Bible is wrong, that the Bible is false. They would use this scripture to prove that we cannot trust the Bible. They want people to believe that the Bible, in speaking of seeds dying, contradicts science. And that no reasonable person, because the Bible contradicts science, should believe the Bible. And the confusion comes from a wrong understanding of when the Bible talks about seeds being alive and dead. We need to understand that when we talk about seeds being alive or dead, we are referring to their viability. Everyone say viability. Are they viable? Are they dead or alive? Because a viable seed has to die, but in that viable seed, there is potential in that seed dying that it will sprout, like you can see right there, and it will grow. Whereas a non-viable seed, it will not grow. It will not sprout. And so Jesus is referring to this seed going into the ground and dying. Referring to seeds being alive and dead is no more than Jesus' choice of words when he's describing the potential of that seed to grow into a tree or a plant and the potential of that seed to become fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. And we know that a seed must die in order to become a plant. And the truth is that in the process of sprouting a seed, or a tree, sorry, that in the process of sprouting a plant, a seed must sacrifice itself. The seed must die in order to become a plant. I hope you understand what I'm talking about today. That is because, yes, a seed is very much like, in a biological sense, is much like an egg. Just like an egg, a seed also contains inside it an embryo of living tissue. It contains a living, viable little embryo inside. And that outer shell dies. And the energy from the outer shell helps the plant or that embryo to sprout and become new life. And so that outer shell of the seed is sacrificing itself to put its energy into the sprouting of that new plant. And Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If a seed doesn't die and fall into the ground, there will only ever be one seed. But if it falls into the ground and dies, then a new life can come out of it. The seed, listen to me carefully, the seed doesn't become a plant. The actual seed is used up to help that embryo become a plant. The outside is used up to give energy to that little plant that's going to sprout forth. There is energy in seeds. And that's why they will tell you if you want to get healthy, then you eat seeds. Because in seed, there is energy. When you have those nuts and things like that, they are seeds. They will give you energy. And so that outer shell is sacrificed so that new life can come forth. You see, the outer shell of that seed has served its purpose. The shell is discarded. You won't find the shell, but you will find a tree. You will find a plant. You will find an apricot tree. You will find an apple tree. You will find an orange tree. You may find a banana tree. You may find a coconut tree. You won't find the seed, but you will find the tree. And on that tree, you will find fruit. And Jesus said this. He said, except the seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth new life. And so Jesus compares his life. In this verse, Jesus compares his life to a seed of corn. A seed must be sown into the earth. This is, and where we read that word, glorified. Glorified. This is the glorification of the humble seed. Yes, Jesus was God in flesh. And yes, he died. But that was his glorification. Because through his death, you and I have life. You and I, you see, the wages of sin was death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So what did Jesus do? He came and died in our place. He paid the wages of sin. He took our place so that we could have the gift of God. You see, before you had life in Jesus, there had to be death. There had to be death. Jesus had to die so that you and I could have the gift of God, which is eternal life. And so just as a seed multiplies itself through sacrifice, we receive new life. We receive that born again experience. Why do we receive it? Not because of anything that we've done, not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, no, but by the will of God, because he died for us on the cross. You and I have life. The life we have comes from the sacrifice that Jesus made. You see, death before life is not something that is completely foreign to us. It's not at all. In fact, maybe when I first read the title, you're like, that's a strange title. I don't know what that means, but it's not something that's completely foreign to us, because even the very freedom that we have today in the country of Australia, even the opportunity that we have in this country as a nation is the result of the shedding of blood and death. Because soldiers went to go and to die on a battlefield for our freedoms and for the opportunity we have. We are thankful for those that laid their life down in world wars in defending our country in World War I and World War II. It is because of their sacrifice that we are free, that we have the lifestyle that we live today. And there seems to be a common denominator of freedom and an opportunity and life. Freedom, opportunity, and life comes to us through the shedding of blood and death. And the same is with us for those that are students here today. Your mom and dad will tell you, no pain, no gain. And some of you got it, you're working through your school and you're finding it really hard. You say, oh, I'd rather die, because sometimes being in school feels like death. Feels like you've got no life anymore. I remember saying that when I was at university. I said to somebody, since I've studied, I've got no life. Any students know what I'm talking about? I don't have a life. I'm a student. But you know what? They'll tell you, Sister Hannah, just keep working hard. The sacrifices will be worth it. Yeah, the blood, sweat, and the tears will be worth it. Students, it will be worth it. And your parents will tell you that, because out of sacrifice comes something better. Something more fruitful. So this is not something that is foreign to us. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And we are a blood-bought church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You and I are the church. We are the ecclesia. This building, we may call it a church building, but the church is where the people are. The people are. We are a blood-bought church. And these days, even in Christianity, I'm sorry to say, there is a lot of effort to move away from sacrifice, to move away from the blood and all those things. Because why? Sacrifice isn't something that comes very appealing. The idea of death, I mean, it's much more appealing to hear somebody say, if you come to Jesus, you'll get rich. Oh, yeah. You say, if you come to Jesus, and Jesus said this, he said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. We're like, oh, I don't know about that one. I'm going to find another church. Oh, can I read that in the Hebrew just in case it doesn't say, sure, the Bible says that I must deny myself and take up my cross? You see, that's why the Bible says in the last days that people will go to preachers with itching ears, because they want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear something that's going to be palatable and much more appealing. And so that's why you hear the prosperity gospel. It's not a gospel at all. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. It's not about you at all. Jesus isn't a means to more money. Jesus isn't a means to a better job, a bigger house, nicer clothes. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And that is the most important thing in this world. And so sacrifice doesn't seem very appealing, but Jesus was upfront with him. He said, if any man want to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You say, oh, that's an interesting scripture. Let me tell you, that's Christianity 101. That's the most basic thing. Jesus said, the first thing you got to get, you want to be a Christian? The first thing you need to understand, unless you're willing to deny yourself, unless you're willing to take up your cross, you can't be a follower of me. That's it. That's the foundations. It's going to cost you something. There is no Christianity without a cross. And like in Corinth, Paul was the same. Paul goes to the church and they wanted something more palatable. They want something more attractive. And Paul was very clear. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to tickle your ears. I didn't come with words of man's wisdom. He said, I came to preach Christ and him crucified. Why did Paul preach Christ and him crucified? Because that was the only way that they were going to live. Because through his crucifixion, he was like that kernel of wheat or corn that fell into the ground and died. That's why Paul said, I don't want to preach anything else except Christ and him crucified. See the cross. Everyone say the cross. The cross doesn't scream a new car, a new job, a bigger bank account. The cross does not scream health, wealth, and prosperity. The cross speaks of sacrifice. And that in us, laying down our lives, denying ourselves and taking up our cross, we get new life. Amen? We get new life. It's not about me. It is about him. I'm not saying that God won't bless you. God will bless you. But God's blessings are first and foremost spiritual blessings. The blessing of God is upon those that live for God. Yes, you're going to have to lay some things down. Yes, there is no Christianity without the cross. When you decide to find Jesus, you're going to find some inconveniences, some things that aren't very nice and not very palatable. And you might even say, I want to find something more comfortable. There is no Christianity without a cross. Then yes, you're going to have to lay some things down. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Let me tell you, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's got a plan for your life. And if you want to lay your life down, let me tell you, he will bless you abundantly. Death precedes, or death comes before life. So as a Christian, we must be willing to die. Everybody say die. People say, well, Jesus died for your big bank account. That's not true. That's not even in the Bible. In fact, I would be worried if Jesus died so we could become rich, then he just made it harder for us to get to heaven. Have you ever thought about that? If Christians are meant to be rich, then why did Jesus say that it's easier for a rich man to go through an eye of a needle than to get into heaven? Jesus, why are you making it so hard for us to get to heaven? Have you ever thought about that? He didn't die so we could have a big bank account. Instead of giving us more money, he's more than likely to tell us to give more money away. He says he's blessed to give than to receive. And then he told us in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. It's not about getting treasures on earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. It's going to slip through your hands. It's not going to last. And where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Everybody say treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And then here's the clincher. Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. He said, either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You cannot serve God and material things. And let me go a little bit further. He didn't die for your bank account. He didn't even die for your happiness. Happiness is not what Jesus wants for us, because happiness is based on happenings. Happiness is based on happenings. The circumstances in your life, you're not always going to be happy, because life is not always going to be easy. You're going to face death. You're going to face sickness. And yes, it's very hard to be happy when you face those things. And a lot of people get mixed up. Happiness and joy are two different things. You can be unhappy and still have joy, because the joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God gives us joy. And I've seen that even as a loved one would be laying here in a coffin and the family are on the front seat. And let me tell you, they're far from happy. There's tears in their eyes. They're in a time of mourning. But I tell you, when we begin to worship God, they're able to lift their hands. They're able to say, God is good. Why? Because joy trumps happiness every time. He didn't come, he didn't die to make you happy. He came to give us a new life, to rescue us from the curse of sin. I'm here to preach Jesus and him crucified. And that if you want life, you must be willing to lay your life down for him. We read this in 1 Peter. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, oh, suffering. Are we meant to suffer? This is what 1 Peter 3 says. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Oh, I thought I was meant to be happy when I didn't suffer. Well, he says, if you suffer for being a Christian, and it will cost you something being a Christian, especially in these last days, he says, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror. Don't be troubled. He said, don't worry. You see, when we read that old hymn, it says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, when I look at the cross, the song says, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. When I see the cross, I realize it's not about me. It says, love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. When I see Jesus' sacrifice, I see it demands my life. It demands my all. It demands my soul. Let me tell you, death precedes life. Death precedes life. We must accept the necessity of death in our lives because it plays such a vital role. We must die. If you want life, death must come first. Jesus was very clear in speaking about going to the cross. He answered and said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He says, you know, through my death, that's where the glory's coming. Verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Okay? So the keepers are the losers. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it. The keepers are the losers, and the losers are the keepers. Those that want to win in this world lose. Those that are willing to lose are the ones that win. You see, it's the upside down kingdom. In order to be glorified, there had to be death. He must increase. We read in John chapter 3. He must increase and I must decrease. So we live in a world where people are struggling for their life. They fight for their rights. They wrestle for their greatness, only to find that it's the other way around. Everybody say the other way around. To find real life, we submit ourselves to God. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross and say, God, whatever you have for me, I want that. Because death precedes life. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the gospel. Paul said in Corinthians, he says, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. That first death that we must have in our life is repentance. Everybody say repentance. Everybody say repentance. Repentance is important. Repentance is a death. Just like Jesus died, we must die. We must repent of our sin. Repentance is an old word which means to turn around and start going in the other direction. Not a 360 turn, a 180 turn. And so we were living one way, living in rebellion to God, living outside of God's word, living outside of God's will. And when we come to repentance, there is a turning around. We say, I have decided that I want to live for Jesus. I'm sick of living for the world. I'm sick of living in sin. I have decided in my heart that I want to live for Jesus. And so our life is turned around. We start looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We start living according to the word of God. That is repentance. Repentance is an inward, everyone say inward, an inward change of attitude. It's an attitude to start with. It's an inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. You may make the decision in your heart, but repentance will show in the fruit of your life. Your life will change, not just on the inside, but on the outside. And so repentance is a death. Everyone say a death. It's a death to our old life. A death to our old life. And so Jesus said this of repentance. This is pretty plain and clear. Nay, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's how important repentance is. You have to turn to God. You have to start living according to His word. You need to repent. Say sorry for your sin. That is repentance. Die to your old life. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so after that, after repentance, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now, when they heard this, Peter preaches the gospel. He preaches how they had crucified the Christ. They're obviously convicted of their sin because the Bible says that they were pricked in their heart. And they said to the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so repentance is a death to our old life. But what do you do with something dead? You bury it. Correct? And so once you have repented, you have died to your old life. You go into the waters of baptism and you are buried under the waters of baptism and you rise up in newness of life. That's repentance and baptism. You see, baptism without repentance is just getting wet. If you haven't repented, you go in a dry sinner, you come out a wet sinner. Repentance, we must die to our old life. When we go into the waters of baptism, then our sins are washed away and we rise to newness of life. And so that is for anybody here today. If you have never repented of your sin, let me tell you, if you've got faith today, your next step is to put your faith in God and obey the word and repent of your sin. Make up your mind once and for all. I am dying to my old life. I am dying to my old ways. I am want to live for God. I want to live according to His word. I want to repent of my sin. You can repent today. You can repent today. You can take that step today. And then if you've repented, your next step is to go down into the waters of baptism and be baptized in the name of Jesus. So that's for those that aren't living for God right now. But what about the rest of us? Being a Christian means taking up our cross daily. Everybody say daily. Everybody say yesterday. Everybody say today. Everyone say tomorrow. We must take up our cross daily. Because we must die. Keeping means abandoning. Abandoning means keeping. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, I read it 1,000 times, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Are you willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Are you willing to die so that you can experience true life in Jesus Christ? What does that mean, Pastor? You know, I don't like the idea of death. I didn't know I came to a morgue today or a mortuary. I didn't know I came. I thought I came to church. Keep talking about death. Well, are you willing to take up your cross? Because when Jesus said that, they knew what he meant. A cross wasn't something going to be nice. You see, if you make up your mind to live for Jesus, let me tell you what's going to be waiting for you. A cross. Not some symbolic cross. Because Christianity has never been about symbols. Christianity has been about the real thing. Taking up our cross and living for Jesus. What does it mean? Well, let me tell you. It means that Jesus would be the center of your world, not you. What does it mean to live for Jesus? It means that I live a life of complete surrender, that my life is in His hands. What does it mean to lose and to die? It means that I may even lose some friends. Maybe I may even be persecuted, but I will find peace with God. I may have to lose some things. It may mean that we are swimming against the tide of this world. We may have to change our lifestyle. There's some things we no longer do. There's some ways we no longer speak. There's some places we no longer go. Why? Because we are a Christian now. It's going to cost you something. Don't believe the lie that says become a Christian. It's not going to cost you everything. Let me tell you, it will cost you everything. Being a Christian doesn't mean that all these terrible things will happen, but you must be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and say, whatever it costs me, I'm going to live for Jesus. We sing that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Okay, I can sing that one. What about the next one? The cross before me, the world behind me. Okay, that's sounding a bit more challenging. To keep my eyes on the cross. And as I keep my eyes on the cross, I'm going to be transformed into His image. I'm going to become less and less like the world. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. Okay, so getting more and more challenging. Verse 3, though none go with me, still I will follow. Why? Because death precedes life. If you want to find the life that God has for you, it comes through surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Give your life to Jesus completely. Yes, if you've never given your life to Jesus, do that today. But I'm also preaching to the church. You know what can happen? We give our life to Jesus, we take it back. We say, I don't know, quite know if you know what you're doing, God. I just need to take care of this. If we go to Mark chapter 8, verse 13. And he began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus begins to speak about his crucifixion on the cross. And he spake that saying openly. Jesus said, I'm going to have to die. Remember, I told you about the corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. He says, I'm going to have to die. He's telling them, he's preparing them. He said, I'm going to be rejected of the elders. I'm going to be rejected of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. I'm going to die. Peter says, don't go dying. Jesus, we got a good thing going on. All these miracles. Look at the crowds. Look at the numbers. Look, you're rising to fame, Jesus. Don't go dying. Peter said that, but Jesus knew that it was Satan. He said, but when he turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He rebuked him, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. He said, Jesus said, I'm going to have to die. And Satan says, don't go dying. And that's the challenge, what you're going to be facing. As you sit in this church today, you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to die to my old life. I want to live for Jesus. And Satan's going to come to you and say, don't go dying. Why would he say that? Because he knows if you will die to yourself, that then you will have real life. Then you will have fruitfulness. That's why Satan even said to Jesus as he was on the cross, get down from the cross. Get down. Why? Because Satan knew that in dying, Jesus was going to purchase eternal life for mankind who were lost in their sin. Jesus said, I'm going to go to and die, but when I die, there is going to be new life. And you and I are sitting here today. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. We've got an abundant life in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of the cross. Death precedes life. Let's all stand here today. It's time to let your seed fall into the ground and die. Lord, my ambition. There's nothing wrong with having ambition, but let it be submitted to God. My plans, I submit them to you, God. Lord, I want my seed to fall into the ground and die, that I may have the life abundant that you promised. Life abundant here, but eternal life there. You see, Jesus went all the way to the cross. They crucified him on that cross. We also must take up a cross. Our cross is different than the one that Jesus died on. He died once. Paul said, I die daily. God has been moving on a number of people in church here about a time of fasting. A time of fasting. Nobody likes to talk about fasting. I'm not talking about fast food. I'm talking about fasting. Because that's how we crucify the flesh. Our flesh says, I want food. When we're fasting, we say, no, I want God. I want more of God. I want Him to speak to me. And some of us who have been living for God a long time, God is calling you to a time of prayer and fasting. To seek God. To crucify your flesh, to die daily. See, some of us, our flesh is ruling our life. We can't even hear the voice of God because our own voice is so loud and our wants and everything like that. I die daily, Paul said. We need to rip the for sale sign off our soul and say, there's nothing in this world worth exchanging my soul for. I'm going to die so that I may have true life. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, and I finish with this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, everyone say the pearl. Everyone say of great price. He said, when he had found the pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He went and bought that great pearl. I told this story in the 9:15 service, but I read a story about a family, a husband and wife. They were young. They were very ambitious entrepreneurs. They moved into a new city, and they very quickly knew that in order to grow their kind of business, they needed to be connected with the high flyers in the society where they lived. The rich, the famous, the investors. They wanted to be amongst the politicians. They wanted influence. They moved into a new town, and you know what? They wanted some doors to be open for their business opportunities. So they knew that in order to get those sort of doors open, they had to mingle with the right sort of people. And as some ladies may be, she decided, you know what? I need to wear something that makes me look like I'm successful. If I'm going to mix with these people, I don't want to walk in just looking average. I got to look like I got money. I got to attract people's attention. I want people to say, wow, look at that. So she decided, she knew a friend of the family, an older lady. This old lady had a beautiful necklace of pearls, beautiful natural pearls. And so she had her dress picked out, and she decided that if she could just get those beautiful pearls, that beautiful array of pearls, that she would put that necklace on, and with the dress, she'd walk into that event and every head would be turned. She says, surely that sort of thing would open some doors. Surely I'd get some attention. Surely it would start some conversations. Surely we would begin to get some prestige because, you know, these things, they're so costly. The rich people would know what they mean. So she went to the old lady, Brother Sam, and said to the old lady, would you mind if we just borrowed those pearls? Those pearls that we saw, we just borrow them. We want to wear them to a special event. So the old lady thought about it and she decided, yes, okay, I'm going to loan you some pearls. So she gave her the pearl necklace. The lady wore it, and on the first day that she wore it in that event, it was stolen. Whoa. So expensive, so costly. So that young couple, they didn't have a lot. They were just starting out. So they thought, what are we going to do? Imagine if this news gets out that we lost this lady's expensive pearls. So they mortgaged their house. They took out all of their savings. They sold their car. They began to work extra jobs. So they went and they got their money and they went to a master craftsman and they said, here's a picture of the pearls. We want you to make the same thing again, the same thing. They spent all they had to make that pearl necklace again. They gave it back to the lady. Later in life, when the old lady was dying, she was on her deathbed and they went to visit her and they felt convicted in their heart that they should tell her what happened. They said, remember all those years ago, you loaned me your pearl necklace? Well, the first day I wore it, somebody stole it. So we did everything we could. We sold everything, got a mortgage, sold our cars, worked extra jobs. We raised the money and we got the same thing made again. So we're so sorry. What you gave us and what we gave back to you are two different things, but they're still the same. She said, oh, you fools, you foolish people. You're telling me you sold your house, your car, you've been working extra jobs? You fools. I said, what do you mean we're foolish? They said, they were fake pearls. They were fake pearls. She said, nobody would give out the real pearls. Nobody would just loan their real pearls. Nobody would do that. And she said, you've given all. You've sacrificed all. You've gone through all of that for just some fake pearls. How real is that to us? As we strive for significance in this world, we strive to win, get. Next thing, next house, more money, another job, new car. Only to find out that this world will never satisfy you. It's just fake pearls. And you know, some people are giving their whole life. They get to the end of their life, they sit in their armchair, put their feet up, and you say, you know what they say? I never found what I was looking for. But there are people here today. We live simple lives. None of us can profess to be at the top of society, none of those things. But we say, you know what? When I found Jesus, I found everything I'm looking for. I'm here to tell you that godliness with contentment is great gain. Jesus is the pearl of great price. And if you have Jesus, you've got everything you need. Let me tell you, if you're willing to die, you can have that pearl of great price. If you're willing to sacrifice, death precedes life. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. You know, that merchant man was looking for good pearls. And when he found the one pearl, everybody say the one pearl. He went and sold all that he had and he bought it. That pearl, Jesus Christ, demands my life. It demands my all. You see, it's the great exchange. It's the great exchange. We give him our life through death, and he gives us eternal life. He gives us blessings, spiritual blessings. Are you thankful today? Maybe some of us need to get back to prayer and fasting. Maybe some of us need to get back and say, Jesus, I'm seeking you, not for what you can do, but for who you are, because you are the pearl of great price. Nothing will satisfy you. They said to the richest man in the world, how much money is enough? And he looked at the person in the media and said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. He had everything. You see, this world will never satisfy. The next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Just a little bit more. Let me tell you, the way to life is death. Unless a kernel of wheat or a kernel of corn fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Jesus said, I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I don't want to be in heaven. I don't want to abide alone. But you know what? If I die, if I lay my life down for your salvation, you also can join. You can come to heaven, to the kingdom of God. That is what the cross is all about, brothers and sisters. There is no Christianity without a cross. We're going to have a time of prayer right now. This is the most important time of the service. You thought the singing and the preaching was? No. The offering? No. Most important time right now, as we've heard the word, is to say, what am I going to do with what I have heard today? In a moment, we're going to...